live in a natural world, and also we live in a spiritual world. The natural world is what we see, is seen, is visible, is tangible. You can feel it. It is heard. So, like the city in which you live, the country in which you live, the school to which you go, the work, this is actually your natural world. But you are not only living in a natural world, but there is another world in which you are living. This world is the spiritual world. The spiritual world, you cannot see it by your physical eyes. But it is real, it is as real as the natural world. Although you cannot see it, although it is invisible, but it is as real as the natural world. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 14, St. Paul says there is a natural body and there is spiritual body. We have natural bodies which communicate with the natural world. Our physical body communicate with the natural world. But also we are a spiritual being. We have spirit. And this spirit is part of the spiritual world. In order to understand the spiritual warfare, you cannot understand it by your natural body or by visible and physical understanding. Only you need spiritual discernment in order to understand the nature of the spiritual warfare. You cannot understand the nature of the spiritual warfare except by your spirit only. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So those who are spiritually blind, those who are not in touch with their spirit, cannot understand the nature of the spiritual warfare. Let me give you a story from the Bible to explain what I am telling you about the importance of spiritual discernment in order to understand the nature of spiritual warfare. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we read a story about just a natural battle in which actually the king of Syria surrounded a small city called Dothan, in which Elisha was staying. And when actually the army surrounded the city, Elisha's servant Gehazi saw how the army is surrounding the city. So he became very, very fearful, and he got scared. So Elisha prayed that God may open the physical eyes of Gehazi. And God did a miracle and opened the physical eyes of Gehazi. And Gehazi here saw angels, thousands of angels are surrounding them. So in this story, we have two persons. Elisha the prophet, who was a spiritual man, and although he did not see the angels by his physical eyes, but he felt their presence. He was connected with them. He is aware of the spiritual world in which we are living. But Gehazi, because he was spiritually blind, he needed a miracle from God to open his physical eyes to see the spiritual world. So, in order to understand the spiritual warfare, we have to have our spiritual eyes open. God will not do with each one of us like what he did with Gehazi. He will not open our physical eyes to see the spiritual world. But we need actually to connect and communicate on a spiritual level. That's what St. Paul meant when he said spiritual discernment. Spiritual discernment is the ability to connect and communicate with the spiritual world and to understand the nature of the spiritual world. So we said we are living in a natural world and also are living in a spiritual world. And there are two kingdoms, the natural kingdoms and the spiritual kingdoms. The natural kingdoms, like all these countries and all these kingdoms in the world, a natural kingdom is a territory in which people live under a certain leader or a certain ruler, king or president. And Satan, since the fall, he is controlling and leading the kingdoms of the world. If you think about all the kingdoms of the world, there isn't one single kingdom that living according to the law of God. And this is true as we read in Matthew chapter 4, in the temptation on the mountain. Satan said to the Lord Jesus Christ that all the kingdoms of the world were given to me, and I will give you this if you worshiped me. Satan said to the Lord, all the kingdoms of the world were given to me. So, it is sad to know that all the kingdoms of the world are controlled or directed by the evil one. But also, as we said, there are natural kingdoms, there are spiritual kingdoms. Only two spiritual kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. And each person in the world, as he lives in one of the natural kingdoms, he also is a resident of one of the two spiritual kingdoms. So either you are a resident of the kingdom of God, or God forbid, a resident of the kingdom of Satan. The kingdom of Satan consists of Satan, demons, and all the men who are abiding in sin and rebelling against God and against his word. And the kingdom of God consists of God himself, all the angels and the heavenly hosts, all the righteous and the saints who are living in the paradise of joy, and all the people here who are living according to the truth of the Holy Scripture, and they are part of the body of Christ part of his church. That's why the Lord told his children, the kingdom of God is within you, is inside you. So I can say the believers who were baptized and accepted the Holy Spirit in them, if they continue to live under the rule of God, led and directed by the Holy Spirit, then they are residents of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God exists individually within every and each one of us, the believers. But also the kingdom of God exists communally in the church, in the true church of God, in the one only holy Catholic and Apostolic Orthodox Church of God. And I mean here by the word Catholic, the universal church. So the kingdom of God exists individually in each one of the believers and also in the one only holy Catholic and Apostolic Orthodox Church of God. And in the second coming of Christ, there will be actual manifestation of the kingdom of God. In the second coming of Christ, there will be actual manifestation of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God will be revealed. So, again, just to summarize what I said, we are living in two worlds. We are living in a natural world, which is visible, tangible, can be seen, can be touched, can be heard, can be felt. But also, we are living in spiritual world. And we need spiritual discernment in order to understand the spiritual world. Then we spoke about natural kingdoms and spiritual kingdoms. And we said, unfortunately, all the natural kingdoms, since the fall of Adam and Eve, are under the control of Satan, directed by the evil one. The spiritual kingdoms, there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. And any person on earth is a resident of either the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan, based on your decisions, your choices, where you want to live, whether you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and having the Holy Spirit in your heart or not. Then actually, there is invisible war between the kingdom of God and between the kingdom of Satan. There is a spiritual war, invisible war. We cannot see it. But all the time, Satan is attacking the kingdom of God. As we read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood human being, flesh and blood natural kingdoms. So St. Paul is saying, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is wrestle, battle. There is war. All the time, a continuous war, invisible war between Satan and his kingdom and God and his kingdom. This spiritual warfare is not a natural battle with human being, like between countries. It is not a battle of a man against a man, but it is a battle between kingdom of God and between Satan and his kingdom. So if you are a resident in the kingdom of God, then actually you are in this war. Again, if you are a resident in the kingdom of God, so you are part of this war. Satan will be attacking you because you are part of the kingdom of God. This spiritual warfare has three dimensions. One dimension is between us, the resident of the kingdom of God, and the world in which we are living. Because Satan used the world to attack us. So the first dimension is between us and the world. And the Lord told us, you are not of this world. If you were of this world, the world would love you. But you are not of this world. That's why the world hates you. So the first dimension we need to understand that all the time we are in a war between us and the world in which we are living. That's why the Lord told us, in the world you will have tribulation. This is part of the spiritual warfare. The pain, the suffering, the hardships, the tribulations, the afflictions that we face every day in the world, death, diseases, attacks, whatever, poverty, is part of the spiritual warfare. The second dimension is between my flesh and my spirit. Satan, as Satan uses the world to attack me, Satan also uses the flesh and the desires of the flesh to attack me. And this is again the second dimension of the spiritual warfare. All the time there is a struggle. As St. Paul said, the body wars against the flesh. Sorry, the flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh. So there is this continuous tension, continuous conflict between my spirit and my flesh. And again, we should understand that this tension, this conflict, is part of the spiritual warfare. The third dimension is between us, the resident of the kingdom of God, and between Satan and the demons and all the evil spiritual powers. As St. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. St. Peter also said that your enemy, the evil one, Satan, is like a roaring lion looking to devour us. So we have to understand that the spiritual warfare has three dimensions. The first dimension, what I call it, the social dimension between us and the world in which we are living. The second dimension, I call it the personal battle between the spirit and the flesh. And the third dimension, I will call it the supernatural battle between us and the kingdom of darkness. And each resident of the kingdom of God actually is engaged in these three wars, or in these three dimensions. And you cannot win any of these three dimensions without God empowering you and the Holy Spirit supporting you. As the Lord said, in the world you will have many tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And another principle we have to keep in mind, we are not fighting or wrestling to win, but we are already winners in Christ. We are victors in Him. So we are winning, we are fighting because we are victors in Christ. This mindset is very, very important. That's why the Lord told us, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So when we are in this spiritual warfare, we know for sure that we are the victors. We know for sure that the kingdom of God will defeat completely the kingdom of Satan. There is no chances for the kingdom of Satan to win. Even if they gained some victory, temporary victory, but at the end, God actually will destroy completely the kingdom of Satan. And we, the children of God, we will win in these three dimensions. That's why we war, we fight, we wrestle out of victory. We are sure of the result if we abide in Christ. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In any war, you know, for example, in wrestling, the person doesn't know for sure whether he will win or he will not.
Thank you.
But we, because Christ overcame Satan, we know for sure that if we are in Him, we will win. St. Paul used the word wrestling. And wrestling means close personal contact. You cannot just avoid the warfare. No one is exempt from this battle. But you are part of this battle. And this battle will continue as long as we live here on earth. And if you think that this battle one day will get better, you are deceived. Satan will try to defeat us until the last breath. But if we abide in Christ, we are already winners. And one of the verses that explain this battle is what the Lord mentioned in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 is the gospel of the good shepherd. And the Lord spoke about the thief. And He said the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. The thief here is Satan. So we can read this verse by replacing the word the thief by the word Satan. So the Lord says, Satan comes on earth, in our world here. Why? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God came to our earth, I have come, that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So Satan here to destroy and to kill and to steal. But God, Emmanuel, God is with us, and the Holy Spirit abiding in us to, for what? To give you life. Not only to give you life, but you may have it more abundantly. Satan fights to maintain control of the kingdoms of the world. He doesn't want the kingdom of the world to be under God's authority. That's why he continue to attack the kingdom of the world, trying to control them, and also attacking us who are resident in the kingdom of God in order to take us captive to his kingdom, to the kingdom of darkness. Everyone who denies Christ actually is taken captive to the kingdom of Satan. Everyone who is abiding in sin, and actually I don't use the word living in sin because there is no life in sin, but those who are abiding in sin, they are taken captives. But as we'll study in this series of lecture, even if I am taken captive into the stronghold of Satan, but God can destroy this stronghold and release me and set me free if I surrender myself to Him and to the Holy Spirit. How and when this battle started? Actually, this battle started in heaven with an angel named Lucifer. And this angel was beautiful and was mighty, created by God. And you can read in Isaiah 14 from verse 12 to 17, and also in Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 12 to 19 about the might and the beauty of this angel. But this angel decided to take over the place of God, the throne of God. He wanted to be the God of the world. And in the blindness of his mind and in the blindness of his heart, he thought that he can win the war. So he started rebellion against God. And now his name changed into Satan. Satan actually is the abbreviation of Satanael. Satan means the opponent, the rebellion. Il means God. So Satanael means the one who rebel against God, the one who is opposing God, the one who is opponent to God. So when we say Satan, Satan means the opposer. And unfortunately, a group of angels joined Lucifer, who is Satan, in this rebellion. We read in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, that is Satan, Satanael, the opponent one. And the dragon, Satan, fought and his angels. Archangel Michael said to Lucifer, Mikael, these are three words, Mikael. Mi means who, ka means similar or like, il, God. So Michael said to Satan, who is similar to God? Who is like God? You cannot be God. You cannot be the God. And this is the origin of his name, Mikael. Because he said in this war between Michael and the angels against Satan and his angels, Michael said to Satan, Mikael, who is like God, who is similar to God. And as I told you, we are warring and fighting out of victory. We know the end result. We know it. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So Lucifer became known as Satan, and the angels that followed him now known as demons. And Satan and the demons attack us to steal, to destroy, and to kill. When they take control of a person or a kingdom, actually, they enter to torment, to torture, to abuse people living with them. One of the techniques that Satan uses, which mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, is deception, deceit, which deceives the whole world. We say in the Divine Liturgy, and when we fell through the deceit of the enemy and the disobedience of your commandment. If Satan lost his ability to deceive, he will be powerless. That's why there are many verses in the Bible start by "do not be deceived." One of the very famous verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "do not be deceived, but company corrupts good morals." Satan may try to convince me to hang around the wrong people, and he may deceive me to believe that hanging around them, I will convert them, I will transform them. That's why St. Paul telling us, no, do not be deceived, but company corrupts good morals. So the war started in heaven when Satan rebelled against God. After this, God created us, created the man in the image of God, after his likeness. And because Satan, in the blindness of his heart, wants to take control of everything, he decided to attack the human being, to deceive them. That's why Satan came to Eve, trying to deceive her. And when God actually said to Adam and Eve, do not eat of this tree. Because God, in his foreknowledge, he foreknew that Satan will use this tree to deceive Adam and Eve. That's why God forewarned them. Let me just give you an example to understand what I'm saying. If you know that there is a gang kidnapping children, but they use like chocolate, they give it to the children to tempt them, then they kidnap the child. So you may tell him, when you go to the street, if anybody gives you chocolate, don't take it from him. So here, the commandment that you give to your son, it's not against the chocolate in itself, but because the chocolate will be used as a tool to tempt you and to deceive your son or your daughter to be kidnapped. If Satan gave anything to Adam and Eve and they took it from his hand, then they will become part of him, belonging to him. That's why God, in his foreknowledge, he foreknew that Satan will use this tree to tempt and to deceive Adam and Eve. That's why God told them, do not eat from this tree. But Satan, when he came to them, he lied and he deceived them. And actually, he used the same technique until now. In the spiritual warfare, he made them believe that God doesn't want their best interest. and Satan cares about them more than God. He told them, God knows if you eat of this tree, you will be similar to him, like him. As if God doesn't want us to be like him. And if you think about it, actually God created us in his image after his likeness. So God wants us to be like him. And the whole economy of incarnation and salvation is to be in the likeness of God. To be Christ-like. So Satan lied. Satan told them God doesn't want your best interest. And then he made this fruit attractive, pleasurable to their eyes. And poor Adam and Eve believed him. And they listened to his advice. And by listening to his advice and following him, actually they transferred themselves from the kingdom of God to the kingdom of Satan. That's why they didn't have place in the garden. And God told them, you cannot stay here anymore. Because by your own will, you disobeyed me and you followed Satan. But be of good cheer. I have plan for you. I foreknew that you will follow Satan. But I have plan for you to save you. The offspring of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. The offspring of the woman here, Christ, who defeated and crushed Satan on the cross. And all of us, we were in Adam. All of us, we were in the loin of Adam. So when Adam sinned, all of us sinned in Adam. As we read in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And this is the meaning of the original sin. What do you mean by the original sin? All of us, we were in Adam. All of us, we were in the loin of Adam when Adam sinned. So when Adam sinned, all of us sinned in him. That's why we are born in original sin. All have sinned. We are born with the original sin. As David says, in sin my mother conceived me. And from that time, actually, there is a war between the human kind and between Satan. We are in war because now we realize, or after the fall, we realize it, that we were taken captive by Satan. So we wanted actually to set us free from the captivity of Satan. And the people tried and tried and tried and tried for 5,000 years. And they failed to set them free, to set themselves free by their own power. That's why they realized the need for a savior. A need for a savior. We cannot save ourselves from Satan by our own power. We need a savior. And God said, actually, after the fall, I will put enmity between Satan and the woman, or mankind, and between your seed and her seed, the seed of Satan, which are the forces of evil, and the seed of the woman, the children of men. But the son of the woman, Jesus Christ, will crush his head. So in the fullness of time, God became man in order to save us and to set us free from the captivity of Satan. As we say in the resurrection song, he led the captivity captive. Those were taken captive by Satan. Now we are transferred into the kingdom of light. In Colossians chapter 1, St. Paul said, he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. ونقلنا إلى ملكوت ابن محبته. He transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, kingdom of Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Actually, God came to the world to release us from the condemnation. He did not come to condemn us. He came actually to set us free, to save the world, not to condemn the world. In 1 John chapter 3, St. John says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, became man. What, which purpose? That he might destroy the works of the devil. He might destroy the works of the devil. So, and on the cross, before the cross, everybody, every single body was in the kingdom of Satan, with no exception, because all of us were born in the original sin, were born in sins. But after the salvation, now we have a choice to be transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Everyone until now is born into the kingdom of Satan. But once you get baptized, you are born again. But in this rebirth, you are born again not of flesh, but you are born again of spirit. So now you are born into the kingdom of God. So through baptism, you are born again into the kingdom of God. And here, I wonder how some Protestant churches deny the children the baptism. Do they want them to continue in the kingdom of Satan? Those who believe that infants and children should not be baptized. That's why in the ritual of baptism, there is exorcism. Abuna actually breathes in the face of the child, in the infant, and say, get out, O evil spirit. There is actual exorcism in the baptism, because we are born into the kingdom of Satan, because all of us, we were in Adam when he sinned. And we have to be born again from water and spirit to be born of God. And here we are transferred from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. But some people may ask, if Satan is defeated on the cross, why does the war still rage? Yes, Christ bound Satan. Some church fathers said he bound him with chains. But these chains, like, you know, if you have a dog and you are binding him with a chain, he can move, you know, according to the length of the chain. So there's boundaries to Satan. But Satan, before the second coming of Christ, will actually will be released. This will be the last chance for Satan. Following any war, following any natural war, there are always pockets of resistance, some rebellious troops, and they will not give up until they are forced to do so. That's actually what's going on now. Some resistance, some rebellion from Satan, and will continue until the second coming of Christ, when actually he forces Satan completely to submit, and he will throw him in the lake of fire eternally. And here, the kingdom of God will be revealed and will be manifested, and this will be the beginning of the eternal life. Satan is trying to prevent people from joining the kingdom of God. And also, those who already joined the kingdom of God, and those who are born into the kingdom of God, he is trying to take them captives again in sin, to transfer them back to his kingdom. And through his deceptive techniques, he's enticing human being to temporary lusts and sinful behavior and conduct. Again, as the Lord said, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan still wants to be the supreme ruler. Still, his strategies are directed at God. And because we choose to be in the kingdom of God, that's why Satan is attacking us and will continue to attack us. And in order to win, as I told you, we are already winners in Christ. But in order actually to continue in this battle, you have not to be ignorant of the tactics and the maneuvers of Satan, of the strategies of Satan, as we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So if we are ignorant of his devices, if we are ignorant of his tactics and techniques and maneuvers, actually Satan may take advantage of us. When somebody fights with you, when somebody curses you or insults you, if you understand that Satan is behind this, then actually you will not attack your brother, but you will join with your brother, both of you, to attack Satan. If in every family conflict, we understand that not the other is attacking me, but there is Satan behind this conflict, then if we join together in prayer and we submit to God, then actually we can defeat Satan, our common enemy. But because we are ignorant of his devices, many times we perceive that the other person is attacking me. And that's why I start to attack the other person. And now Satan is happy because he's taking advantage of us. He turned us against each other. As you heard in the Pauline letter of today, from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, St. Paul told us, if you have conflict and divisions among you, are you not carnal? Carnal means you are led by your flesh. So when you are carnal, you are in the kingdom of Satan, then there is conflict and tension between each other. The kingdom of God, there is peace in it. There is unity, there is love, there is fellowship. So we need not to be ignorant of his devices. Let me tell you this. We need to recognize that all, and I mean all the battles of life, whether physical, spiritual, emotional, mental, financial, relational, with human personalities, are only outward manifestation of the spiritual warfare. All the battles in your life are outward manifestation of the spiritual warfare. Satan all the time, continuously, is attacking us. Continuously is attacking us. And he's using everything, using the world, using people, using my flesh. Come to me, attack me directly. Satan is using every single tactic and maneuver to trying to take us captive. I'm not saying this to scare you, but to be aware. But again, we have Christ and we have the Holy Spirit, and as I speak, we have our spiritual weapons with us. So we should not be scared, but we should be ready. We should not be scared, but we should be ready. That's why the world, listen to this, the world tried to correct the evils of this world through education, through making some legal laws, through improved environment, but it did not work. Why? Because the visible evil of the world are the results of an spiritual, underlying spiritual warfare. That's why you cannot actually correct the evil of this world through education or through setting some laws or through improving the environment. It is only through putting on the whole armor of God. That's how you correct the evil of the world. It's through the spiritual power. So the evil of the world cannot be corrected by natural means. The evils of the world cannot be connected by natural means. And many times we forget this. Many times when we see the evil in the world, we are trying to correct it by natural means. It will not work. It has to be corrected by spiritual means. And let me just finish this lecture by asking you this important question. To which kingdom do you belong? To which kingdom do you belong? You cannot be a resident of both kingdoms. It's either you are a resident of the kingdom of God or a resident of the kingdom of Satan. In the parable of the tares and the sower, the Lord said, the field is the world. The good seeds are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. فَمَذْرِ الزَّوَانِ وَالْحَقِّ. There are only two spiritual kingdoms. There are only two spiritual kingdoms. And the Lord said it very, very clear in Luke chapter 11, 23. He that is not with me is against me. So if you are not in the kingdom of God, then you are against him. If you are not a resident in the kingdom of God, you are a resident of the kingdom of Satan. He who is not with me is against me. You are on one side or another. You cannot keep a balance between the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. There is no fellowship between darkness and light. St. Paul says it very clearly. There is no fellowship. You cannot be here and there. Because some believers believe that they can be here and there. There is no neutrality in this war. And also in this war, either you are a victim or a victor. That's why we need actually to learn the techniques, the maneuvers, the tactics of this war, and what are the weapons in order to win the war through the power of God. Glory be to God forever and ever. Yes, if you say.
First, we thank you, Sayyidina, على السر will be very comforting to us. يعني. بس في حاجة تطلع في دماغي برضه وأنا قاعد في سؤال يعني ما فيش حاجة يعتبرها. فلما نفسك بتقول إن إحنا في المعمودية نتولد من جديد ونبقى born from the spirit. طب بيجي كابل جديد اوريدي متعمدين ويتجوزوا ويجيبوا طفل، المفروض إن هما بيورثوا الخطية الأولى according to
الطفل ده قبل ما يتولد من ابوه وامه he was in Adam when Adam sinned.
مثلا ابوه وامه reborn بقى يعني لكنهم فقدوا الخطيه الاولى خلاص.
بس فكر في اللي انا عايزه. قبل ما هو يتولد من ابوه وامه وقبل ما ياخد الجينات من ابوه وامه قبل ما يتولد هو كان في ادم، يعني الطفل ده كان في ادم. And once he was in Adam, he is in sin. All have sinned. That's why when he is born already in sin. Because he was in Adam before, يعني if you think about it, you know, here is Adam. All of us were here before we are here. Okay. That's why once we are here in Adam, now Satan claimed that all these people belong to him. So when we are born in sin. Because we were in Adam before I was in my parents.
Even the parents were cleansed?
Yes.
It has to be individually, one by one.
Exactly. فهنا كلنا كنا في آدم عشان كده قال فئة إذ أخطأ الجميع في آدم. عشان كده كل واحد لازم بيتعمد. Yes.
My first question is, what's, maybe everybody already knows this, but what's in it for the devil? Doesn't he already know that he's not going to win? And if he thinks he still might take over, what kind of world is he? I don't understand what he thinks he's going to get in the end if he wins more people.
Yeah, I'm just going to you don't understand the mind of Satan. It will be a problem if you understand his mind. Well, I don't understand his mind. It has to do with the pride. Satan, in his pride, he believes that he will win the war. Until now. عارفة زي ايه فكرة لما كان يطلع الرجل الوزير بتاع العراق ده أثناء الحرب ويقول ان احنا مش عارف احنا he was in delusion. He was not in touch with reality. And they thought ان هما they will win. وكل الناس عارفة ان هما they will not. لان هما they are fighting against the United States. نفس الكلام Satan in his delusion. دي المشكلة بتاعت البرايد. ان بيخلي الواحد completely blind. Completely blind. وهنا انا بس مش عايز الخبطكم بالسؤال ده بس خليني اقوله لكم. في ناس كتير يقولوا ليه ربنا ما خلصش الشيطان؟ Why God did not save Satan؟ Well, traditional answer, and I'm sure all of you heard it before, you're like, because Satan commits sin by himself, that's why there is no salvation, but Adam and Eve were deceived. That's why God planned salvation for them. But besides this traditional answer, I want to say something. I'm sure God, in his love, he wants to save everybody. But Satan, in his pride, refused and will continue to refuse to submit to God. That's why there is no salvation for Satan. Not because God doesn't want to save him, but because Satan, in his pride and in the blindness of his heart, until now, he still believes and thinks that he can be the God and make God submit to him. ودي مشكلة ال pride. ف there is no salvation for Satan because Satan will continue to rebel against God and will refuse to submit to God. مش كده بعض scholars like Origenus spoke about the salvation of Satan. طبعا احنا we don't believe in the salvation of Satan. لكن هو he spoke about this in his mind, and God actually cares about the salvation of every creature, which is true. لكن what's not true في تعليم العلامة أوريجانوس, what was not true in أوريجانوس thought in Satan one day will submit to God, but this will never happen. That's why there is no salvation for Satan. I hope I did not confuse you with this.
السؤال بتاع سيدنا مش ليه ربنا ما خلصش سيدنا بس ليه ما خلصش عليه؟
هيبيته بنفخة فم. هي لسه يعني عارف قديس أوغسطينوس كان بيتكلم عن natural war وقال there is rules for a just war. In the same way ربنا as he is merciful he is a just God. That's why the war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan must be a just war. And a just war means Satan should have يعني his chances. عشان قبل ما يبيده بنفخة فمه يبقى وتغلب إذا حكمت. You know, so it has to be a just war. هو في سيشن لكويشن اند انسرز. انا اصلا قعدنا ناخد اسئله الوقت هيتلخبط, ففي سيشن فور كويشن اند انسرز عشان بس تو بي اون تايم يعني.